Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
And we welcome you back to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley with you here. And as we work our way up from the bottom of the first round, the draft order, we come to the Carolina Panthers. Somehow, some way, they came out on top of the NFC South last season. Not necessarily a big achievement, but they got a little lucky in the playoffs and got to face the Cardinals and got a win there. So we'll talk about how their offseason has gone, who they've added, who they've lost, what they could be looking to do in the upcoming NFL draft and the fantasy implications of all of those maneuvers. And as always, if you want to get your questions in, you can tweet them to us at Fantasy Guru site, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley, and use the hashtag Franchise Focus. If you listen to some of the previous podcasts, you know we've been answering your questions on there, and you can hear podcasts already from the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Packers, Colts, Broncos, Cowboys, and Ravens. Plenty more to come as we go through all 32 teams looking forward to the 2015 NFL season. But the MLB season, that's already underway, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't miss your chance to join before the season kicks off. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. You can stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today, win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. And sometimes, Joe, you get these teams, if they're on a travel day or your team's on a travel day, and you go, wait, it's early in the season. I'm in. I want to keep watching baseball. That's what FanDuel's there for.
Maybe later in the season, your team is struggling a little bit, or they're absolute scrub starting pitchers going. Maybe you had to call a guy up from the minors for a spot start, and you're like, well, you know, I want my team to win the game, but I'm not too confident. Let's make this a win-win scenario. Let's stack against the scrub starting the game for my team today, and let's see if I can get some money out of it. Maybe your team will win a 15-14 blowout, and you get the best of both worlds. So I think it's a great way to play a It's a way to be involved if maybe your team isn't good or your team's in a bad slump, your best player's on the DL, your season-long fantasy baseball team, maybe your keepers that were great both got hurt and you're really wallowing and you're struggling. Just play once a week on FanDuel. Play twice a night. You can do it at whatever you want. Once you put a deposit in there on FanDuel using our code GURU, Matt, you don't have to. There's no obligation. You don't got to play. You can play once every 2 months. You can play two times a night. You can play 10 times a night. It doesn't matter.
Worked for Eric Haff from California. He turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports at FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. And as Joe said, use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for the new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Maybe you used a little FanDuel lineups with maybe Cam Newton last season. The backfield, that may have been more of a pain. However, I want to start with that Carolina backfield because amazingly, in the second half of the season, leading up to as we record this podcast, things have actually cleared up in the Carolina Panther backfield.
You're some proactive there.
What's that?
I'm trying to get us some extra sponsorship here, Matt.
Because they cleared up. I got you. Let's not get too excited because they're going to ruin this in the draft. It's going to happen. Okay. But the man who actually emerged as the top back in that backfield was Jonathan Stewart. It took some time, though, for that to happen. Now, he still missed three games. You kind of build that in at this point. Weeks 4 through 6, he missed with a knee injury, but he became the team's feature back, and he was clearly their best back. 176 carries, 812 yards, 4.6 yards per carry, just 3 touchdowns, 25 catches on 31 targets, 881 yards, and a touchdown there. He was the number 23 running back in fantasy points per game at 11.4 fantasy points per game. But he was the best at the end of the year. Racked up 484 rushing yards the final 5 weeks, the second most over that time. And they actually played their best football of the year. Now, you know, Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, he wasn't gambling too much. He was kind of playing it close to the vest. And it was, oh, D'Angelo's still our starter. D'Angelo's still our starter. Well, Williams got banged up quite often. He's now a Pittsburgh Steeler now, and it looks like Stewart is their guy. They did re-sign Fozzie Whitaker. He could be their number two. You still worry about Tolbert stealing touches, especially near the goal line. You know Cam can score there. You even know that Kelvin Benjamin can score there. But right now, with Jonathan Stewart as their guy, you worry about the injuries. I get that. He's been in the league a little bit of time now, 6-7 years now going on this. But I think you actually go into 2015 going, okay, I feel pretty confident that Stewart is their guy. I don't think anybody's running up to go draft him, but he's one of those guys that if you don't put any, you know, real stock in taking a number two running back early, he's a guy that you might be able to get in maybe the 6th round and be pretty happy about it.
Well, let's right now, as we stand, and as you said, look, they're going to mess this up in the draft for sure. And, hey, I don't blame him for that. Stewart's guy who's had a lot of
injuries.
Well, they
got to look forward. Right, I get that.
I'm actually doing an MFL 10 right now, and Jonathan Stewart, Matt and Tom, was a 4th-round pick. He was the 7th pick of the 4th round, which, as we stand right now, there's really no competition on the roster. Now, I expect them to add some, but he went the pick after Todd Gurley, who doesn't even have a team yet, 2 picks after Joyke Bell, which I think is probably pretty fair at this point, a couple of picks after Frank Gore. I think Jonathan Stewart might kind of be the poster boy as we stand now for teams who want to do zero RB through the first 3 rounds. Maybe you draft Gronk and a couple receivers in the first couple rounds, and he becomes your one. If he plays the way he did last year, I think you could get a return on investment
there. But, Tom, do you think he's worth to take it? I don't even think he's worth to take that early. I still think he's enough of a risk with all the injuries. And it was a nice finish to the season, no doubt about it, and D'Angelo's gone, but I still don't think you need to take him that early. I will still let someone else take him earlier.
Yeah, the injuries, I mean, there's just too much. There's too much precedent. He's always hurt. Even last year, he was fairly healthy.
Yeah.
He still missed 3 games. But it's hard to, he looked like a number one back whenever he was on the field last year. And they were feeding him the ball at the end of the year. That offense ran through him. So I can see why people are excited about him. But I'm with you. If I can't get him in the 5th or 6th round, I probably would let somebody else take him.
I mean, I think it's fair to call him a low-end number two going into the season. There's maybe a little upside there if he is the man, but I'm not getting too fired up about Jonathan Stewart being on my team. And, you know, we just talked about the touchdown vultures. He only had 3 touchdowns last year. He had just 3 touchdowns. You have Cam. You have Tolbert. I mean, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen. These guys are all threats now at the red zone and then the goal line. So I think that is something that you have to bring into the equation. Now, let's talk about Cam Newton here. Career worst numbers in his 4th season, but, man, he played hurt for just about the whole way. And you know, he had the car wreck. and was back a couple weeks later from the fractures in lower back. But ankle, rib, back injuries. Remember, he had the ankle issue in the offseason. He was banged up, like, early on in the year. He didn't play the opener.
Was that the preseason?
He didn't play the opener.
Was that the game against the Jets where he kind of got kneed in the back? Mm-hmm. And
Derek Anderson starting their opening game in 2014. I mean, you got to go back. So he played through all of that. May have come back too quickly. Then the car wreck, he sat out. But, I mean, he hung in there through all of that. That is one thing you always said about Cam. For a guy who plays this position, he's one of the tougher guys, and he's bigger. I mean, you think of guys who get a lot of their production on the ground or with their legs, and you think of Cam, but when you compare what Cam looks like to Michael Vick or Robert Griffin, these guys are much smaller. He is a big man, and maybe he can absorb this a little bit better, but still, you do worry about these starting to pile up here. Last year, 103 carries, 509 yards, not bad numbers there, 5 rushing touchdowns. But if you compare that to how much he's run in previous seasons, first of all, I thought they were trying to get away from it a little bit, but the 109 carries, the lowest he's had. It's gone down every year, and I think you expect that. It's gone down the last 3 years from where he's been, 5 rushing touchdowns. I mean, if you're getting 500-plus yards and 5 rushing touchdowns, that is still more than just about any other quarterback in the league. And if you're getting that from Cam, you're happy. But 22.3 fantasy points per game, his fantasy points per game has dropped each season thus far. And I think something you worry about there is you don't expect him to run as much, but his passing attributes, that's all got to improve, and I don't think we've seen a lot of that.
He has weeks where he looks like he could be the best passer in the league, and he has weeks where it looks like he's a rookie quarterback who's never going to figure it out. And that's what you get with Cam Newton. The running is the constant, but as you mentioned, if you don't have that constant anymore, and if I'm Ron Rivera, I'm probably thinking, you know what, I don't want him running. He's our franchise player. But if you don't have Cam Newton running, then Ron Rivera isn't going to know what he's getting from his quarterback on a week-to-week basis, and you're not going to know that for your fantasy team. And I think that's a concern when it comes to Cam Newton. And I am really going to be fascinated to see where his ADP is come August, because by default, because of his attributes, he's a top 10 guy at the quarterback position. But is he a guy who just looks like a top 5 guy 5 out of the 6 weeks, and a bottom 15 guy the rest? And that's the concern.
And he's been a top 10 guy all 4 of his seasons, but I don't think he's a guy that you draft with a lot of confidence. Now that, you know, the rushing has got to take a step back, you would have to think, and they're going to be smart about that. But do you have a lot of confidence, Tom, in this guy as a passer? He didn't even complete 59% of his passes last season, and it's not like he's got a ton to work with here. We like Kelvin Benjamin. We'll talk about him in a second. You know, Greg Olsen's one of the better tight ends in football, but there's not a lot there, and Cam's not a guy that's going to make a lot of guys better. So he's not a guy that you're running up to go draft, and I think if you take him, your first thought is, who am I getting to back him up?
Yeah, he still needs a lot of help at receiver. I mean, and Kelvin Benjamin, we love the guy. He showed a lot in his rookie year. He doesn't help quarterbacks either. He drops a lot of passes. So there's plenty of reason for concern. I mean, Greg Olsen's entering his 30s now. You know, I want to see them get better in the draft at receiver here. I mean, if Cam is going to run it less next year, you know, is there as much optimism as we've had in the first 4 years here?
Well, what's the other thing you got to worry about is the O-line, which a couple of years ago was one of the better ones in football and now looks just horrid. And they were bringing guys off the street to start for him. That's a big concern for me. And it's interesting is that's something Ron Rivera talked about at this time last season. Oh, we got to protect Cam better. We got to do better. And they didn't really do anything to help themselves out there. So doesn't that have to be a focus for this team? Especially because we know they want to run the football. They couldn't do anything right last year with that O-line.
Let's bring something. Number one, they went outside Michael Orr, who was terrible in Tennessee, released 1 year into a multi-year contract. Number two, you talked at the beginning about how they kind of lucked into a playoff spot in a bad division, ended up playing an Arizona Cardinals team that has to be considered one of the worst playoff teams in NFL history. Not because of injuries, I know, but still, you got to put a team out there. That Cardinals team with Ryan Lindley at quarterback, you might argue, is the worst playoff team to ever play an NFL game.
Between winning that division and winning a playoff game, you could not have more of a false sense of accomplishment than what the Panthers did.
What does it do? Guys, it tanks their draft status. They're the number 25 pick, and it gives them a first-place schedule. So now they're playing a difficult schedule with a low pick, a pick that certainly does not reflect the talent level on this roster, and you've got a lot of holes.
Yeah, congratulations. You get to play the Green Bay Packers, and you get to play the Cowboys, and you get to play the Seattle Seahawks with that team. Now, to their credit against Seattle, they've made things interesting against that team a couple of times the last few seasons, but as you said here, the false sense of accomplishment and what it's done now to their draft status has really hurt them. And what do they do here? Because, as we said, they've let D'Angelo Williams go. You bring in Michael Orr. That doesn't do a hell of a lot for you there. And they haven't done a heck of a lot else going on here. I mean, Greg Hardy's gone after they had him last year. Well, they re-signed Joe Webb as the third quarterback or whatever the hell he brings to the table. But there's not a lot of good here for Carolina.
They went out and got Jarrett Boykin, Ted Ginn. They're depth options at receiver. And you want to be frank? They didn't have those guys last year.
Right.
So you go out and you get those guys. Their defense is still really good. And I think that might be the saving grace. maybe they don't have to focus too many resources on the defense this year.
Maybe on the back end a little bit, I would say.
They still need a little help.
They need a little help in the secondary. And you know what? If you think the defense is your strength, maybe you're like, we got to keep reloading. It's got to be like a row of shark's teeth. A shark's teeth are really sharp, but they lose them frequently. We just got to keep them rolling. One thing they can do, though, build up the offensive line. I think this is going to be, at the end of the day, I think we're going to see more offensive players drafted for the Panthers than defensive players.
They have to go offensive line receiver early in the draft. I mean, first three picks there, two of those picks have to be on offensive line and receiver. They have to improve the receivers. Jericho Cautry cannot be your number two receiver entering next year.
I mean, Kelvin Benjamin was the number 20 fantasy receiver last year in fantasy points per game. 73 catches, 1,008 yards, 9 touchdowns, 13.8 yards per catch, 144 targets, I think is the number you really focus on there, because it pretty much came out of necessity. That tied him for 6th most targets in the league last year. And, you know, talent-wise, I think this guy's going to be a heck of a player eventually, but he's not there yet. You know, we talked about the relationship between him and Cam. I don't know if there's a great relationship there in terms of the rapport, but they kind of had to find something quickly. And, you know, I remember talking about Kelvin Benjamin last year after he was drafted in the first round, and was kind of like, okay, I guess they kind of had to do that, but we weren't pumped about it. And then he comes out of training camp, and he's the number one. It was like no question, and he was impressing people. But he was a guy who would make that contested catch. You go, wow, that's a hell of a play that Kelvin Benjamin made. But as Tom mentioned, dropped the easy ones, not polished at all as a receiver.
Routes.
Right, exactly.
50.7% catch rate, as you mentioned. I think the term we used for him was maybe the least efficient receiver in fantasy football. He might have stolen that from Torrey Smith last year. This was a guy. Kelvin Benjamin made a lot of big catches and a lot of big plays. But is this a guy you feel comfortable going to with the game on the line?
We saw him at times last year. A lot of his production came real late in games and garbage time.
Didn't he score two touchdowns against Philadelphia in a game where Carolina was out of it?
And remember, their defense did not play all that well in the first half of the season. Yeah. They started to come on.
That's when he was at his best.
Do you believe that, you know, at this point now, is Kelvin Benjamin kind of like those volume backs where you just go, okay, I'll have him, because I know he's getting the ball a bunch. And from a talent standpoint, he's not quite there yet, and it could take some time for him to develop. And he still finishes a top 20 receiver, but he would drive you nuts at times. I get that. But it's just more volume than anything else. I mean, he did sprinkle in those 100-yard games. He had 3 of them, and he actually had 2 after Week 10. So you give him credit for that. He hit double digits in all but 5 games, which isn't bad either. I mean, he's a rookie. So that you throw that into the equation that, you know, our expectations aren't too high. But he was pushed into a pretty big role right off the bat. Luckily, they also had Greg Olsen, who had a great season last year. And as Joe and I had talked about a lot on Sirius last season, a guy that probably up there with Gronk was one of the two guys you just go, all right, I'm good with him this week.
You could argue he was number two at the end of the year in terms of just consistency, getting him into your lineup.
Wasn't all about touchdowns with him.
He was my...
And he only scored 6 of them.
Favorite FanDuel tight end who wasn't Gronk. Now, I got Gronk in there as much as I possibly could, but sometimes I had a quarterback who I really wanted to play, or a running back in a good matchup I really wanted to play, and I just couldn't afford Gronk. Olsen was a guy who I think won me quite a few credits on FanDuel.
He also may have gotten you into a fantasy championship, but then he really crushed you. Weeks 14 and 15, he had 2 10-catch games, so he got a lot of people into championships. And 16 and 17, 3 for 48 combined.
Yeah, 3 for 48 combined.
Brutal.
He was the number 4 tight end, even with those bad final 2 games. 84 catches, 1,008 yards, one of the only 2 tight ends to go over 1,000 yards last year, as well as Rob Gronkowski, as you may expect. 122 targets, top 5 there. Just 6 touchdowns. Now, I kind of like that in that he was still a top 5 tight end without the big touchdown total. Because you look at the other guys that are in that list, everybody had 10. Gronk with 12. Graham with 10, Gates with 12, Julius Thomas with 12. Now, I think there's the interesting difference there is you had Gates with 69 for 821 on 97 targets, 12 touchdowns, and you had Olsen at 84, 1,086 on the 122 targets, a difference of 0.1. But Olsen had a much better season, and it's all on touchdowns for Gates.
Well, I don't want to disparage Antonio Gates, who is now blown past my expectations for him a couple years
ago. One of the all-time greats.
But Olsen is not durable.
Mm-hmm.
He's missed one game in his last seven seasons. So he's going to be out there for it. And by the way, he played hurt this year. He had quite a few issues going on there. His young son going through issues. I believe it's a heart issue for his young son. He's playing through that. This guy is somebody the Panthers absolutely love. Newton loves him. 69% catch rate. Very nice there. He just signed an extension this offseason. Greg Olsen's got to be locked into the top five tight ends being drafted for fantasy, and I think he's not going to get pumped up as much as some of the other guys.
He could be a very nice value, especially if they don't address the wide receiver position early in the draft. All of a sudden, if he falls to eighth round in fantasy drafts, he's a guy I might be looking at.
Tom, even
to provide consistent value.
Even if they do address it early, your top two receivers are still going to be
Kelvin
Benjamin and a rookie. And is Benjamin going to be the veteran leader of this group? I don't think so. He's still learning the ropes. He was a guy who, as you mentioned, he put up numbers out of necessity last year. And he did fine with that. But I still think Olsen, he's the guy Newton's going to. If you're down 3 points in the fourth quarter of a game, he's going to be the guy getting peppered with the targets.
I think expectations are lowered for this team. They shouldn't certainly be high after last year. Guys like Olsen, certainly top five. I mean, you still consider Benjamin a top 25 receiver?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I don't expect a big rise for him necessarily.
I think it's fair to expect him to get better. I mean, I think the circumstances are going to be different with Benjamin. I think they're going to be better at receiver. As I mentioned, is anybody going nuts about Ted Ginn or Jarrett Boykin? But those are guys they didn't have last year. At the end of the year, Philly Brown had to be playing a big role for them.
Wouldn't you think for a guy like Benjamin, what we'll be looking for more from him is what we see on tape and not necessarily the numbers? I mean, the numbers, if they're similar to what he did as a rookie, we'll be happy with him. But will he get better as a route runner? Will he improve his catch rate? I think that's the kind of stuff we're looking at for him in his second season.
The play against Philadelphia. Now, I forget who picked the pass off, but Benjamin just kind of just stopped dead on a route, and Newton was clearly expecting him to continue the route upfield, and it was just an easy interception for the Eagles. There was too much of that stuff for Benjamin, and I'm not telling you the guy's lazy. I'm just saying, hey,
he's not refined at this point. And if he was in any other situation, he may have been benched at times, but he was their only option.
What would have happened, just for instance, if Kelvin Benjamin was in Denver last year? And I know that's an extreme example.
He'd be Cody Latimer.
But are we talking about him like he was Latimer, yep, a guy who didn't even get on the field and we don't know what to expect?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair to say. And that's what I'm saying. We're looking more of, like, what is he doing on tape?
Like
I'm not getting excited about the numbers.
Opportunity.
But the opportunities are going to be there. And when we talk about fantasy versus reality, he had opportunities that other guys may not get because they just don't have that much there. So we'll see what they decide to do in the draft. Our expectations are not high for this team. It was a bad division. They got lucky to win a playoff game. And
at least they are kind of easy to handicap for fantasy.
They are.
I mean, it's four or five guys, really.
Cam is still a top 10, 12 guy. Stewart's, a decent number two. You have Kelvin Benjamin in the top 20, top 25 receivers. Olsen's in the top five of tight ends. And that's about it. I mean, you just hope nobody else really steals touches, but you kind of, I think more.
Get out of here, Mike Tolbert.
Yeah, we know now, I think, what we have in Carolina as it stands. Now, the draft is going to change some things, but pretty easy team to kind of get a grasp on heading into 2015. And as we go forward, we also tell you about the MLB season, which is underway. You don't have to wait that long because it's going on right now. And FanDuel's changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. And the season's just getting underway, but you don't want to miss out. You want to get on the fun right now. Sign up to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. You can get immediate cash payouts and entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait all year long to turn that into winnings. You can do it right away. Pick a brand new team any day you want. Play today, win tonight. That's a nice thing, Tom, as we're getting to the first week of the MLB season. You can get right into it. You can maybe turn a season-long entry fee into money you don't have to worry about anymore because you can win money immediately in one night.
You got to wait 6 months for your other fantasy leagues to pay out, and then who knows what the owner, the commissioner, is he going to pay on time? It gets into football season, maybe I'll forget about paying you. This, you can go right on the FanDuel, make $10, put $10 down, double it up. Hey, That's easy money.
It is. Eric Hafner from California, he made some of that easy money. $125 deposit he put down. He turned that into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports at FanDuel. And you could join the over 1 million other users who have already won money. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Here's the important stuff. You want to go to FanDuel.com, and you click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. A special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we come towards the end of our Panthers franchise focus podcast, we remind you can check out all of the teams that we'll do podcasts on. And through now, we can tell you that the Patriots are up, the Seahawks, the Packers, Colts, Broncos, Cowboys, and Ravens already posted. We'll go through all 32 teams all the way up to the number one pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and these will all be up by April 24th. So you'll have a whole week before the draft even happens to kind of take these all in, get a feel for where these teams are at after 2014, so far what's happening in the offseason and heading into the draft. And as always, we're taking your questions on this podcast. You can send them to us. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. And tweet us at Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Camp, at FG underscore Dolan for Joe, at FG underscore Brawley for Tom. We'll take your questions throughout the show. If you want to respond to some things you heard on the podcast, you think we're crazy, you agree, whatever, feel free to tweet us. Use the hashtag Franchise Focus. We like to have that open discussion here at FantasyGuru.com. And, of course, you can check out the pre-draft rookie report, distance and bonus scoring articles, the post-free agency podcast with John Hansen and Greg Cosell. Keeper Dynasty rankings have been updated. The stock watch has been updated. Lots of stuff to get your hands on. And if you're not on the site yet, you can do so right now for $24.95 for one season or $45 for two seasons. So you get some major savings there if you jump on the site, and we keep you busy.
Yeah, we'll get you to the draft.
Oh, yeah, we'll get you to the draft and much more. We'll cover all of it for you heading into the 2015 season. So plenty more to come. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.